Page Reish Rav up to Halacha Reish Lamed Ches. Right. 238. Okay, now we're going to talk about the sugya of songs. Singing lullabies. Using psukim is a very popular topic. Using psukim as a lullaby. Is it permitted to take a pasukin chumash and to sing it to a child, to use it as the text for a song to sing for your own pleasure or for the pleasure of your children? And then the sugya of what about singing music that comes from non-Jews? The composers are non-Jews, non-Jewish music. That's the sugi here. I have a baby in a crib, and you want to sing a lullaby. And in order that the baby should not cry, it says here, lo yiranenu lo shirim uzmirois shel goyim. First thing he says, do not sing non-Jewish music. Okay? Out goes already 99% of all of the things that every person has in their home. Okay? All of these are... you know, these wind-up things, whatever they have babies, it's all... Yeah. What? All these lullaby things. So this is not Jewish music, this is not Jewish stuff. No one pays any... Of course, everyone has. No one's telling you to throw this stuff away. Right, exactly. I never heard any Rav tell you to go, that it is awesome. Okay? So the Sefer Chasidim says you should not do so. Obviously, this is not accepted. Because only 99% of the population has for their children, infants, and for toddlers, has different items which provide music, and the music does not come from a Jew. The music was composed by a non-Jew. Who doesn't sing happy birthday? Happy birthday to, who doesn't make a happy birthday party? What Haredi in America doesn't make a happy birthday party for a child and they sing happy birthday? So tell me, did a religious Jew that says Shomer Torah mitzvahs, did he compose? I don't even know who composed Happy Birthday. Did Uncle Moshe? Oh, I never know. Oh, Baruch Hashem. I waited my whole life. I didn't know. Uncle Moshe is the one who composed Happy Birthday. It was kedai to come today just to learn that. Never knew. Ha'oimer Dav Hashem Omroi, Mevi Gula Li'olam. Now Mashiach will come. What?
White Christmas. You know, God bless America.
Good point. Why not? We should just change the words and use it. And use it. Okay, we're going to discuss this. Okay, so I never heard. I've been Baruch Hashem to a lot of birthday parties for children from people that who identify with the Haredi world, and doesn't seem like anyone has a problem singing Happy Birthday. So the question over here is. It's not like the psak of the Sefer HaChasidim. We learn many times that we don't always follow, very rarely in fact, we follow everything that he says. But at least it's what to learn. It is always a lesson to learn from the Sefer HaChasidim. But he writes here, you should not sing the Nigunim of Goyim. And then he goes on to say, which is very relevant, V'gam lo Nigunim shel Yisrael Shem LaHakadosh Baruch Hu, and also Nigunim Avol Yesh, even songs that are from Jews, and they're composed in honor of Hashem, but the words selected, the lyrics, are plagiarized. They were taken from Yeshaya. The lyrics were taken from the Nevi'im. They were taken from Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, well, many of the songs we have today were taken from Ravina and Rav Ashi. Okay? Tanya, Omar Rabbi, who was the Tanya? I don't even know. Who's the Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel? Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel. I'm Rabbi Shmuel. I went lefnai v'lefnim and I saw the Akasriel kotzevokos yoyshev al kisei ram benisa v'omar li b'ni barcheni. Wow, you couldn't find a more esoteric maimer chazal that you entered in lefnai v'lefnim and you saw the Ribbono Shel Olam and you saw, we described by one of Hashem's names, Akasriel kotzevokos. Yoyshev al kisei ram v'nisa, and Hashem said to me, "Bini barcheini." Woo! This is over the top, and this song Yishno is outstandingly beautiful, and it is extremely popular even by goyim. They've been taken by the beauty of this song, but I cannot imagine seeing Rav Yehuda HaChassid at a concert where they will be singing this song. Because Rav Yehuda HaChassid would not come to a concert where they sing this song, because he says, V'loi gam loi nigunim shel Yisrael, Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aval, do you know where the words came from? Im yesh charuzois, there are lyrics, there are, what's a good word for charuzos? Sections. What's it called?
Stanzas,
exactly. Charuzois mipasuk v'salmud. So he would not give a hechsher.
Elon also, same exact
thing. Exactly, 90%, every one of those songs. Because today no one knows how to compose anything. You know, you're going to compose something today, it's not going to be anything near what Chazal could have done. So you know, according to Yehuda HaChassid, basically the same when you go into a store to buy a piece of food, no one today in Flatbush will go into a store unless on the window there's at least three certificates of kashrus. Yeah, from the Vada Rabbanim Flatbush, and from the Kehillah Kashrus, and from Garnish, right? You'll have a shagetz. So you go into a store that doesn't have out on the window at least three certificates of kashrus. When you buy a ticket to an event, many times the shaila of hasagas gavul, shouldn't there be a hechsher that there's no violation in the laws of chosh and mishpat? If you have two people competing, and they're creating an event, and there's a real shaila of hasagas gavul, so you have to go to ask a shaila. Is it hasagas gavul to open up a store? Let's talk about that case. Is it a sagas gevul to open up a pizza store next door to another pizza store? So you have to ask a shayla. And many times the Rav will say, mutter, there's enough business for both. This is shulchan aruch, it's mutter. But you know something? It's not always true. Because you see many times that when someone opens up another store, one of the stores goes out of business. Because there's not enough business. So you'll say it's because he doesn't know how to serve a good product. He doesn't make a good product. Who says, how do you know it's not a good product? It was good enough all these years. Why is it not good enough now? So you have to get a shayla. So maybe and maybe not. You go to a bezdin, and the bezdin gives you a psak halacha. So you need not just a certificate of kashrus that the food is kosher according to the laws of Yoredeya. You need a certificate of kashrus that in this store, everything is kosher according to the laws of chosh and mishpat. The balabas is not in violation of hasagas gevul. The balabas pays taxes. We investigated his documents. He gives the money that you give him. He gives, he pays, he does legal, it's fair and square. Taxes. There's inspections. He didn't go cheat the inspectors. So how come today there's no such thing in society of a certificate of kashrus of choshen mishpat? No, that would be too much to ask for in our society to have such a thing. And over here, there's another issue. When you buy a CD, or today everything is electronic now, you buy some type of electronic music, shouldn't there also be a certificate of kashrus that it's not in violation of the laws? What would you call these laws? It wouldn't be easy. Archaim, maybe? Archaim. Archaim, the laws of Avelus, the laws of Avelus of Yerushalayim, or this halach over here that says that you're Yehuda HaChassid, you're not allowed to use Pesukim or Mamori Chazal as the lyrics of your melodies. So there should be another certificate, a certificate of Kashrus that it's not in violation of the other matters of halacha. Because today, a lot of the music we have today, obviously we don't accept this lahalacha. This is a chumrah that is too much for us to accept. Many places come hold that you're not allowed to listen to music, period. Period. After the Churban Beis HaMikdash, it is usher to listen to music. So that's a big, good question. We're very makel today. Today you do anything you want. You go to a concert. Today there's nothing to talk about. It's a dead issue. It's mutter. All of the poskim permit it. It's mutter. But now, not only do they permit listening to music live, we go to concerts. I enjoy them very much. And we listen to tapes, CDs, and this music. There's another issue. Are the lyrics allowed to come from Psukim or Mamari Chazal, especially things that are way, way out, like Tanya, Omar Rabbi Yishmael? And he is a loner. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid is all alone in the corner. No one wants to read this, but he says here, Im Yesh Haruzais Miposik V'Talmud, it is Osir. You're not allowed to sing these things. It's Osir because it's not the proper thing to use Psukim and Amori Chazal as an inspiration for our personal psychological state of mind. I was listening to yesterday to Rav Simcha. I go in sometimes, occasionally, in the afternoon to learn in a shul, in a shtibel, to prepare around the corner here. And there's a very big Talmud Chacham there, Rav Simcha Soloveitchik. And he's always talking and learning and talking, and he's very animated. And just sitting and listening to him, doing nothing, just you can learn an enormous amount. The things that come out of his mouth are just incredible. A lot of times I just sit there and I listen, I just write down what he says in my notes. And he said something yesterday that really shook me to the core. And he said he was telling over a maisa from the Bris Karov, a very, very fascinating story. And then he said, you know, if you wake up in the morning and you say over a story from the Bris Karov before you daven, do you have to make Birchas HaTorah? No, of course not. Of course not. If I tell you the most amazing story I heard from the Chazon Ish, the Bris Karov, the Gra, whoever your hero is, Rav Kook, whoever your hero is, you find the hero, and from this Maisa, it changed your life. And you want to tell me this story in the morning before you daven Shachris, before you recite the Birchos HaTorah. Do you have to recite? Don't tell me the story yet. I first want to say Birchas HaTorah before I hear this amazing story about the Chazon Ish. No such thing. Tell me the story now. I'll say Birchas HaTorah later on. It's not necessary for me to say Birchas HaTorah before I hear this amazing story about the Chazon Ish, who's Kula Torah, the Bris Karov, or whoever you want, Balatanya, wherever you want, whoever your hero is. But let's say you tell me the most, what you consider to be, okay, not nice what I'm going to say now, the most boring story in the Gemara. Find me, go through Ganshas, 2,711 pages, and find me a story that appears in your eyes to be so bland, so simple, and just, you know, not just a few words. Maisa, there was a Maisa. Okay, talk about this first Mishnah. There was a Maisa where the Talmidim came to Rabbi Eliezer, and they said, "We didn't say Kriya Shema. Can we say Kriya Shema? We went to a wedding. We had a wedding later night. Can we say Kriya Shema?" Don't even tell me the end of this. Don't even tell me the end of the story. Don't even tell me the Psak Halacha, because that would be Halacha. We came on late. We normally say we came to win the Chasna. Are you allowed to say over that story before you recite Kriya Shema? Before you say Birchos HaTorah? No. You're not allowed to. The stories in the Talmud are sacred. You're not allowed to relate a story in the Gemara unless you first recite Birchos Kriya Shema. Because a story in the Gemara is sacred. On the other hand, if I tell you a story that is so amazing, that literally changed my life and changed the lives of many people, that happened with the Chazon Ish, the Bris Karov, the Gra, the Baal Shem Tov, you name it, go back, whoever your hero is, guess what? You can tell me the story with no guilt, with no violation of halacha whatsoever before you say Birchos HaTorah. Isn't that amazing? That's a revelation that even the simplest story in the Gemara, in the eyes of Chazal, is sacred. It's sacred. You have to say Birchos HaTorah. So to add insult to injury to the musicians who take Mamori Chazal and use them. It's an innocent. What do you want from me? It's a Gemara, two lines of a Gemara, a nice expression. The Gemara, Rav is said to Abaya, Amar Abaya, Tesili, Ki Chazino, Tsud Mirabanan. When I see a Talmud Chacham, Misaima Mesechta, Avidna, Yom Tavul Rabanan. We'll make a nice song out of this and we'll sing it by the Siyam Hashas. What's so terrible? It's not such a profound statement, right? Abaya says, when I see a Talmud Chacham, he makes a Siyam. Oh, it's a yomtiv. It's a story. I saw Talmud Chacham. You're not allowed to say those words unless you first recite Birchay Satara. You're not allowed to hear it either. You're not allowed to listen to Divrei Torah lichatchila. You're not allowed to listen to Divrei Torah until you first recite Birchay Satara. Obviously, the simplest words of Chazal are sacred. Therefore, this is part of the meaning what we do not accept. I'm not coming to argue because this is Hanach Lechem L'Yisrael, this is the halacha today, it's mutter. But this is part of what Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid means to say, you're not allowed to take a pasuk and a maimar chazal and use it as lyrics or stanzas in a melody that you sing for inspiration. That's not correct. That's not.
50 years ago, there was a contest in Israel. We used to have every year the Hasidic festival.
Okay, I told you today, halacha l'maisa.
The lyrics were from the.
I told you, halacha l'maisa. Go into any Judaica store, and the walls are lined with CDs, and every CD, b'liyotze min haklal, has at least one, if not all, the songs. The lyrics, the words are psukim or mamori chazal. And it's mutter. It's mutter. I told you, Yenachanami. It is accepted today. Today we are extremely, extremely lenient in this matter. Extremely. Why? What are the reasons? It's inspiration. We're doing it for the purpose of an inspiration. Whatever it is, it's mutter. But Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid clearly had a very different opinion on this matter, and it's worthy for us at least to appreciate where he's coming from. Not that it's going to be Nogei Halacha L'maisa in this case, but it's Nogei Halacha L'maisa in other areas of our life, to have a sensitivity to the sanctity of the words of the Psukim and the words of Chazal.
That's why the Gemara says that David HaMelech was punished because he said the words of the Torah like a song to me.
Exactly. It's a song. It's not a song.
It's not a song.
Hey, but today we're very, very lean. What's embarrassing, though, is sometimes some of the musicians, they take psukim and they don't know what the pasuk really means. They didn't bother looking at the mefarshim, what the pasuk really means. Ish Esri Eyu Yoimer Chazak. It's a very popular song. Ish El Re'ehu, one man will say to his friend, be strong. It sounds very nice, right? We live, the word of our generation, the word is chizuk. Chizuk. Ish El Re'ehu, one man shall say, Yoimar shall say chazak. Look in the Mefarshim. That pasuk is describing Yishai is coming to make litzanis of what goes on in the factories where they manufacture idols. They're all sitting around in the factory and they have an order to produce an idol and they're working overtime and each worker says to his friend, when you make the idol, do it well, bang in the nail strong so the plating, the gold plating on the idol should look beautiful so we can rebel with all of our might against the Ribbono Shel Olam. What did you do? You took this pasuk that according to almost every one of the commentators refers to each man shall say to his friend, let's be strong in beautifying an idol so we can rebel against God? Are you crazy? And you're going to sing that at a chasana and in a Jewish assembly? You got to be out of your mind. And the people who accept this nonsense and sing it and buy the tapes and sing it and the musicians who play it, they're mindless people. It's like not to be believed. So what is the only limud zchus? The limud zchus is that I think they dug up, they went on Eitz HaChachma and they sweated bullets to find a commentator that no one ever heard of before, from the time of the Kadmonim that says, no, the Pasuk is not referring to Avodah Zarah, it's referring to serving Hashem. Okay, so our response is, unless you're an Einikol, an Ur Einikol of that commentator, I don't think you should all of a sudden embrace him as your Mefarash on the Pasuk and stick to the simple Mefarashim on the page that don't say that is the Pshat. So it's very embarrassing. It's a very embarrassing thing for Klal Yisrael to be singing that song. And everyone asks, so why are they still singing it? They don't really sing it, so they stop. I think to a certain degree, it bothers the conscience of many people that, you know, have a little seichel sometimes, once in a while. If the Pasuk refers to Avodah Zarah, who are you fooling? You're trying to showcase your ignorance that you never opened up your Sefer Yeshaya? You never, it's in the Pasuk in the Haftarah even. You never read what it says now. Like, how could you sing such a song like that? And look what it says in the Mefarshim. That's outrageous. So that is, we're not even discussing that. We're discussing here psukim that are very nice, that really do mean very beautiful, positive things. But he, the Sefer Hasidim, would appear not to be a targeted customer for the people who make these CDs. It doesn't seem they're trying to advertise to Yehuda HaChasid because he's not going to buy. He's not going to come and buy these CDs because he does not believe it is halachically correct. He does say one thing over here, which this to me is not relevant at all. Let's say a person composes a beautiful nigud and he sings it. Why? As a memorization technique. I want to remember the Chazal. I want to remember these words, so I have a melody and I sing it as a way to memorize it. It just so happens to be that when I'm singing it to memorize, I don't realize that in front of me there are only 5,000 people that are listening to this, and they have a beautiful sound system and light, and there's a light show going on in the background. Mm-hmm. So my kavana is, when I'm singing the song, I learn the daf and I want to memorize the beautiful Maimon Chazal. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Pamachas, Nichnasti, Lefnai V'Lefnim, V'Reisya, Kasriel, Kotzevoko, Yisyeich, V'Alkisei. It's such a beautiful Maimon Chazal, I want to memorize it with all of my might. So I composed the Nigun how to memorize the Chazal, so I should know the Maimon Chazal. It just so happens to be that there are 5,000 people listening to me out here when I'm having that Kavana. Right? What?
You originally made it for the other people.
Oh, come on, that's not.
What he said.
That's not what it says. Of Avlim Yesh Charuzais Mipasik V'Talmud V'Hu Menagnam, and the reason why this fellow is singing them Kidei
Sheyizkereim.
The person.
No,
the Tinaik doesn't know what's going on. No, what are you saying? No, you learned the daf. You want to memorize. You're taking a dershu b'chinah next week, and you want to know the Gemara Baal Peh. So you have a nigun to sing the Gemara. V'lo yishkochem. Af al pi sha'atinoik shoyseik. Even though the tinoik is shoyseik v'nene, that's mutar. So even though in the audience there are 5,000 people that are listening to you sing this song, but your kavana is, next week I'm taking an exam. I have to memorize the Gemara, so I'm singing the Gemara. It happens to be 5,000 people are listening to me, and YouTube also is broadcasting this. Oh, it's mutter. I'm making jokes here, obviously. You're not laughing, but it is. Then it's mutter. There's no such thing like this today. Excuse me. Next.
All the Jewish music, it makes a big difference with little children. They hear the Jewish music or they hear non-Jewish music. They know the words. So when you
I don't know, a few words here, not necessarily. Okay, that's not an excuse. It's not an excuse. Listen, we're not coming. Listen, it's the bottom line is it's mutter. It is a part. It is the fabric of Klal Yisrael today. I always say we're not making litzanos. It is mutter. You don't need to come on to your answer. It is mutter, mutter, mutter. It's part of the fabric of Klal Yisrael that you're allowed to listen to music that have psukim, have Maimori Chazal. It is accepted throughout the entire Klal Yisrael without any issue whatsoever that is mutter. The Rabbi Yehuda HaChasid is a das yochid. a das yochid in this matter. Like many things, like 90% of the sefer is a das yochid. We don't accept la halacha lemaisa. Yet, you know, it's kedai to appreciate what he says. Next halacha. Lo yilmoid adam legaloch osios. Do not teach a priest how to read Hebrew. Is that what it says? Osios, they know how to read Hebrew very well. The galochim. Okay, v'lo yinagein l'fanav zemer noyim. Do not sing in this presence a beautiful melody. Pen yinagein agalach b'avoy the zara shaloy oisin. They're going to steal it. They're going to take the osios. They're going to learn the language, and they're going to use it for their purposes. They're going to take our beautiful melodies, and they're going to sing the melodies that were composed by Jews in front of their idols. There's always, every so often, they show videos. If you're part of this Mishagas, I'm being on someone's WhatsApp list. Every so often, they'll send you from China or from South Korea or from who knows where a Goyish choir with a very, very large audience. And they're singing Shalom Aleichem Malachei Hashareis. Okay, the goyim are enamored. Some of the melodies that were composed by Hamish Jews in our generation are outstanding, are mamish outstanding, and the goyim appreciate them. Ad kidei kach that when that performances, major performances in front of thousands of people, they teach the choir, the children, these Jewish melodies, and they sing it. And every so often, you'll get someone will send you a video clip of some performance, some country we never even heard of, where you see thousands of people, children, singing this song. Most, everything, many, many, many melodies. So it says here, not, listen, if they come along today with the, not to teach them. Today you don't have a choice. Today there's the internet. They, of course, right, it's a dead issue. Right? Obviously, you don't have a choice, but it's not the right thing to go ahead and to teach them these nigunim, because they'll come to use it. On the other hand, I know someone who, you know, I think is now retired, but he worked his way all the way up in the public school system. He worked his way all the way up to the top, and on his way, you know, he's a very firm guy. He always came to work in the public school with, you know, the tzitzis out, a white shirt, and they always would ask him, Rabbi, they would say to him, Rabbi, what are those black stripes? He worked in one of the wool taliskotten that, you know, you can see the stripes. They would ask, what are those white stripes under your shirt? And he was very Hamish with the African-American kids. Very Hamish, and he loved them. He helped a lot of them in their lives. And he's very, very, very musical. And he always thrived getting hundreds of these African Americans together and teaching them Chassidus Negunim. And having them, you know, having them sing it together. They had no clue what they were singing, and they loved it. The kids loved it. And he would conduct, he would go and mamish. Probably today, we live in a different society today, probably couldn't get away with it today anymore. Doing this, wasting all this time with these kids instead of teaching them. But he would go and he would get assemblies and teach them these nigunim, chassidish nigunim, and they would sing these nigunim. Okay, so I told you, everything we do over here in the Sefer Chassidim is not la halacha. He taught these guys all of these very beautiful nigunim. Who knows? Some of these may have been Catholics. They may be halavai. They know they have some religion in their life. They'll go and they'll sing this in front of their avodah zarah. They'll go into church and they like to sing a lot. So it says in the Sefer Chassidim that you should not do this. Again, we don't pass them like this. You want to teach goyim, gezuntei, maybe halach l'mais, maybe it's not so terrible to teach them these nigunim. What's the difference? V'lo yinagin l'fanim zemen noem, pen yinagin hagalach b'avoyde zor shlov oisai nigun. Next, v'chol sheminagim v'fnei avoyde zor lo yasa oisai nigun la'kodesh baruch eni. Now here it's very important what it says over here. This very important word is what he says. Any nigun that they sing in front of an avodah zarah, you should not sing. Notice what the Sefer Chassidim, who is a very big machmir in this matter, what he does not say. He does not say that a nigun of a non-Jew that is not sung in front of an avodah zarah is also aser. He doesn't say that. The only melody that a Jew should not sing is a melody that is sung in front of an idol. And he's from the biggest machmirim, okay? There's no bigger machmir. That implies that if a non-Jew has a very beautiful niglun melody, that they don't sing in front of an idol. They just sing it. Some non-Jew composed this melody, and it's very popular.
The Polish march.
The marches. Not only all the marches. Or classical music. Or Yidden. Okay, you ever see Yidden? Mordechai Ben David's Yidden. Na 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 na. Yidden, yin, na 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 na. Okay, so niggin. So where is that? That's a German rock and roll song. Okay, it's a German rock and roll song, and you can go online and you can see them perform this niggin. It's they do it very good, by the way. You know, the original version is pretty good. It's pretty impressive. And you look at these people who are singing the niggun, they're like way out, way out, totally lost. Real, real goyim, the real deal, as goyish as it gets. So this has basically been plagiarized, this melody clearly has been plagiarized from the goyim and taken into the Jewish world, and Hebrew words, Yiddish words were added, and it became an extremely popular melody for about 10 years, probably in the late 80s through the 90s, an extremely popular melody. And eventually people found out that it wasn't a Jewish melody, but so what? So what? So it's not a Jewish melody. What's so terrible? Why is it something? So there are certain people that will literally walk out of a wedding, stop the music, will make a condition that I'm not coming to the wedding if you're going to play Yidden. Okay, that's how they feel. They feel that to take the music of a non-Jew and introduce it into a wedding is in our generation is not the correct thing to do. And they made a very, very big issue about this, especially this specific song, Yidden. It became like an example for embracing non-Jewish music in a Jewish setting. Other people do not have such a bad opinion. So it's not a Jewish, it's not Jewish. So what's so terrible? Is this a melody that is sung in front and to give honor to an idol? No, it's not. So why is it any different than many of the other old melodies that were accepted, many marches? There are many melodies that were accepted in Judaism, which I'm not familiar with all the history.
Well, a lot of singing, Adon Olam, that you sing, Olenu, and Enkel. No, these are Polish drinking songs.
Okay, but they're not the Olenu of Yom Yom. Not the Olenu, right. About, right, okay. Know, there are many Olenu melodies that were accepted, and no one says boo, because so what? So what, you don't go sit in this room, the technology that you have, the chair that you're sitting on, the table that you're sitting at, the books that we read from, who invented much of this technology? A guy! You have a problem with it? You got a problem with living in this world? That the guy? So what's so terrible? What's so terrible? You have to go on an airplane? What's so terrible? So what difference is there between a guy who invented an airplane and a guy who composed the melody? What's so terrible?
I remember reading Rambam, something that comes and he says, you better listen to an inspiring Arabic melody.
And boring Jewish music.
Yeah, like a boring Jewish
music. Exactly. Okay, so what is so terrible? So many argue there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong. Others say music is different. Because music, you have to understand the argument, you have to have respect for all the different sides of the argument. Music is something which comes from the neshama. Music is not an airplane. Music is not something physical. Music is something spiritual. That's what it is. It's a reality. When a person composes a song, it comes from a certain heritage, a certain degree of spirituality. What was the guy doing when the guy composed the song? You know, Abish brought... He sings the songs of Rabbi Brazil. What's his first name? Shmuel Brazil. You know how Shmuel Brazil composes his music? You know how he composes music? He sits and learns the whole day, and he has in the Beis Medrash a tape recorder, and he learns the Hasmada Rabba. And at times, the Simcha Satora, his joy of learning, climaxes, and a melody just comes into his mind. and he pushes the record and he sings that melody into the tape recorder. Of Shmuel Brazil's melodies, some of them are world classics. Eishes Chayil. Eishes Chayil became like a world, Shalom Aleichem, Eishes Chayil. It's like, where did he compose that? How come it was Zeichet to the Siyata Deshmaya that they became classics, even among the Goyim? Because he composed it when he was learning a Daf Gemara. It came as a product of Tahara. Now, there are other people, I don't want to say their name, there are certain people, and they openly say where they openly say when they compose their music. And if you want to use your imagination, good for you. When they compose their music. Okay, they compose their melodies when they're involved in doing things that are not holy. I'm not going to go delve into this, obviously, whatever the... So music is not like going on an airplane. It's not like sitting on a chair. There's something more to it. There's something more. You'll start challenging that premise. Okay, you can challenge it. We'll go back and forth. But everyone at the end of the day has to acknowledge that music has a higher degree of spirituality than an object. Therefore, there are holy people in this world who are sensitive to this, and they make a macha, and they feel it's not right. It's not right to go to a Jewish wedding and to celebrate with music that was composed by a non-Jew, even though it was not composed to be said in front of an idol. It's parif, but its source is not something we want to embrace and bring into a setting of holiness. A wedding is a holy event.
Could that be related to why some people only sing by the wedding? They don't have the band going?
What are you talking about?
There's a chuppah, there's some chassidim that they sing the songs.
I'm not familiar. I don't know the answer. I'm not familiar. Whatever. So there are different sensitivities some people do one way. Okay, and then there's also something totally separate, which I think is outside of this issue, but it's still wrong. I'll give you an example. I once went to a wedding, and the chassan marched down to the melody from the Titanic. Anyone hear? Okay, that's a beautiful melody. That melody is really outside. I once bought the soundtrack. I liked it so much. I bought the soundtrack myself to play it in the car. I enjoy that melody. But on Amazon, I just bought that soundtrack for $2, whatever it was. It's awesome, right? Now, I went to a wedding. Okay, so let's put aside this issue of halacha, where it comes from. It's not Avodah Zarah, that's for sure. It's not Avodah Zarah. And you'll argue, let's say you'll tell me, no, it's no different whatsoever than sitting on a chair, going in an airplane, having air conditioning, having modern heating, no difference. Modern day plumbing, washing machine. But what in your mind do you associate that melody with? A Geisha movie. A Geisha movie of Znus, of Avodah Zarah, Yilirai Shvichastamim, when the Chassan is marching down the chuppah. And they're playing the melody. Ah, it warms the heart. I agree with you.
Sinking ship.
I agree with you. It warms the heart. The man is a sinking ship. The man is finished. You're saying it's not a good idea because the man is a sinking ship. You're getting married to a woman. She will finish him off. Right? Okay. Everybody say, please. Everybody say, what are you associated with? What are you associated with? Steven Spielberg, when you hear that melody in your mind, association. Oh, the Titanic. So you right away see in front of your eyes the actors. You see the actors. The actors are people that we're not proud of. We don't want to be mashadich with these actors. Many of them are, I'm not familiar with all the pratim, but many of them are very likely oisek in Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayas, Shvichas Damim, the Abizrayu, certainly the Abizrayu of Gili Arayas. It's a matter of association. See, today, to sing a march from the time of Napoleon, Abayasai, who's Napoleon? There's no association today with anything goyish. So you get into the old issue. Who cares? The music sounds good. It's good as good. You're not going to associate this music with anything goyish. Once you saw the video of Yidden online, and you see the rock and roll band, heavy metal rock and roll band singing Yidden, believe me, Yidden is never the same. Okay, after you watch that video, I watched it a few times, I studied it in great detail, watching that rock and roll band sing it, it ain't the same anymore. When someone sings the word Yidden, it's associated, the mind is a very delicate thing. You right away start thinking about Germany, rock and roll, heavy metal, Geisha music. It disturbs, it's a distraction. The Titanic, the movie, no matter how wonderful it may be, not be a chveis, I don't, I'm not familiar with all the pratim. It's a distraction. It is a distraction. So that's also something that you have to take into consideration. So there is the idea. The Yehuda Chassid is amazing. He's very precise. V'chol shemenagdin b'fnei avodah zarah. Today you don't have it anymore. All of the new melodies that are composed today are not b'fnei avodah zarah. Lo yasa oisa nigun l'kadosh baruch hu. That there's no nigun. So there's no. So what then is the issue? Why do we find talmidei chachamim of stature protest? It's because of two reasons. Number one, they feel music is more sacred. It's more, take into consideration. And then there is the distraction element.
We're not talking about breaking copyright laws. We don't even care about
it. Chesh mishpat. I don't know what the laws are. I don't know. How could you take
some guy who wrote music and you're going to put lyrics to it?
I don't know the answer. I don't know what the rules are. I don't know if the copyright expired.
They don't. I spoke to Yossi Toiv about it. I said, do you buy them? Because he puts words to music.
Yeah.
He doesn't pay them. They were too small and they don't bother us.
Right. If you change one note.
Okay. I don't know the answers.
Change one note in a song.
Why?
Avodah Zarah. I don't know.
Halacha.
Halacha? Maybe he's not saying it's halacha. Maybe he's saying it's more of a hashkafa. Bivdaltim kolamim. I guess something like that. Or maybe he's saying just not sugipas. It's not to take Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is clearly off the limits. Okay. I know someone was talking about Shlomo Kalbach. Shlomo Kalbach, someone said to me, you have to understand about Shlomo Kalbach, don't forget it, he was a very complicated person, very tragic life. He had a lot of, it's not nice to say, I take it back, I don't mean it like that. He was a super complicated person, and many things happened in his life, but let's put all that aside. There's a maila that Shlomo Kalbach, as someone who's a musician, told this to me, and it made a roshim on me that almost all of the other musicians do not have. I can't say all, but many do not have. And that is, a musician needs inspiration. In order to compose new melodies, you need inspiration.
Yes.
Where do you get inspiration? An author, someone writes. How does he know all those fancy words? Someone wins the Pulitzer Prize. How do you know how to write? He read a million books. You read, you don't take out a dictionary. You go and you read. You read everyone else, but you go, you take it all the bestsellers, and you read them, you see, you learn from the masters. You learn words, you learn expression, you learn
structure,
you learn a plot, you learn how to develop an idea. You learn, you watch, you learn from experience. How do musicians compose music? They listen to other musicians. The Jewish music world is teeny. It's very, very small. He told me, it's a fact. Live with it. All of the Hamisha composers, the Hamisha composers with the Bekishes and the Strimlach and the Payas, when they compose many melodies, where do they get their inspiration from? They listen to non-Jewish music. They're masters. They listen, they appreciate, they have a certain mind, and they learn technique, style, and structure from non-Jewish composers. Shlomo Kalbach never, ever listened to a non-Jewish musician, composer. Everything that he composed was pure from himself. It was a gift. His music is not influenced, was not influenced a ki hu zeh from the Geisha world. He's a very holy, a very chosh v'yichos of Shlomo Kalbach. comes a very choshev yichus, and he was very much connected to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, connected to Rav Chuda gave him smicha, and he was connected to Rav Aaron Kotler. He had a very good relationship, but not like all this nonsense they say. He was thrown out. A lot of things are not true. He had a shaychus to the Gedolei Yisrael. He came from very choshev yichus. And he was not at all influenced by secular music. No one can say that. When you listen to a Hamish song today, oh yeah, very nice, composed by a guy with long payas and this, that, yeah, you tell me, where did he learn, where does this music coming from? It's coming from, it's composed in his mind. It's original, but the influence is from the Goyim. So he's in a class by himself. You want to talk about holiness, the holy of the holiest. the holy of the holy, all of his neschois, he's one of a kind. He is one of a kind. Brazil also, Shmuel Brazil is also one of a kind. He's not influenced by secular music. Okay, also, and also today, you know what, today was really heavily, it's noticeable, dancing. Okay, dancing today, a lot of these today, it's not enough to have music. Today it has to be, it also has to be accompanied by a video. Performance. Where do they get all their moves from? All the dancing is 100% all from imitation. Michael Jackson was the king. No one knew how to dance. No one knew how to dance like Michael Jackson. No one. There was one Rosh Hashiva who really knew how to dance. Ooh, I never saw anyone dance. I used to say to his children, he was the Michael Jackson of Aladar. He knew rhythm. I saw him when they were, you ever see Michael Jackson dance? You know, say the Lusachonim. The body, the whole body moved. It was a tremendous koyach. They have schools today. They have schools today just to copy his technique. No one can match him. This is a chokhmah. Chokhmah bo'amim tamin. Jews pay close attention. They look, they watch, they imitate, they copy. When is the mutter, when is it usher? It's not so simple. I can tell you, Chaim Berlin, I know as the Shatz told me himself, they sing a melody for Mare Koyin. Today everyone went back to the olden days to the choir, what choir was it? The London School of Jewish Song. Yigal Salek. Everyone is singing today this beautiful melody of Mari Cohen. In Chaim Berlin, they don't sing that melody. They have a different melody. They have a different melody. In Chaim Berlin, from time immemorial, only recently, since the new Shliach Tzvi, for the last 20 years, where does that melody come from? It's classical music. Classical music. It's not Jewish music. It was not on the Yom Kippurim, on the Yom Hadin, in Chaim Berlin, Mamish, Kodesh Kadoshim, 1,500 people. It's very intense. Believe me, I'm telling you, there's something to it. And the Avoida, Avoida is Mamish, the actual Nigun of the Avoida. We have a Masorah that at least part of it comes from the Beis HaMikdash. Goes back 2,000 years. And after the Avoida is over, they do the Avoida in Chaim Berlin, I gotta tell you, it's really good. I collected a lot of tapes from other Balei Tfila. It's really good. And then when it's over, they go into Mari Koyin. And the melody of Mari Koyin does not come from a Jewish source. The Baal Tzfila, the Baal Musaf himself told me. He told me it's classical music, it's not from a Jewish source, and I feel that it really is the appropriate, it fits into the theme of the Nusach, and I do it, and they've been doing it there for 25 years, this melody, and the whole Olam knows it, and most of you have no clue where it comes from. So you see, it goes to show that non-Jewish music, see, one thing Chaim Berlin, they play every year, probably the only ones in the world, that are still playing songs from 500 years ago. They play these marches. Bom, pa-da-dum, pa-da-dum, bom, 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 la, la, la. These are all Goyish songs.
Yeah.
These are not Jewish songs. Right. Most of them are non-Jewish songs. They're long gone. No one even heard of these songs. Today in this generation, who's going to play those type of songs? It's tradition, Chaim, they play these melodies. They're beautiful, old, they're not Jewish. Okay, it's Purim. Mm. Do whatever you want on Purim. Who cares? Yom HaKippurim? On Yom HaKippurim? Mari Koyin? That's serious stuff. No problem. They don't have an issue. No minimacha. It's okay. Classical music, composer, non-Jewish. The melody is sung by the entire tzibur for over 25 years. So it goes to show, not everyone is so narrow, so closed to rejecting anything that's not 100%, you know, coming from within. You have to be responsible, of course. There has to be a balance. Everything has to be put in its place. But he touches here upon unbelievable things that Amamish, and the relevance of these things that he's writing over here in these two paragraphs we learned today is never been more relevant today than ever. And what he said 800 years ago is, you know, it's something to study and understand where he was coming from. Take a very short break. We have some fascinating stuff about Kibud Av
V'Em. In 1971, when I got married, there were two songs that were very